This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast.
What's up, guys? We're back. Week 3. My name is Kate Summers, used to be Kate Allen, and I'm here with my mom.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I am her mother. She's taking over the show. Intro. You're pro now. Listen, here's the deal, Kate. This week, we're talking about how we all try to evade emotions at some points in our life, even if we know that they're good, even if we know that we need to go through a season of grief, we can still feel reluctant to do that. There's a good reason, as we've talked about in the last episode, that we control and conceal and cope with our emotions rather than actually feeling them and allowing them to serve the purposes God intended. I get that. There's a lot of reasons that we push it down. So there's a lot of grace here, as we've said over and over again for this, because it can be difficult to feel these emotions. So let's start with just kind of talking about our go-tos in this world. And I'll go first. Mine is control, as I talk about in the book. I feel like that one is the one I think I can. I think if I will decide in my mind if something feels worth feeling or not, and then I'll usually decide it's not worth feeling, what's the purpose? And I'll decide not to feel it. And I do better if I'm just doing things. So after your dad had his little TIA stroke and he's in bed for 2 weeks and I'm in the middle of IFLEAD and leading all of that and I'm in the middle of parenting and keeping the house together and taking care of him, I remember like falling apart maybe 2 different times and truly like just grieving where I couldn't even speak. I was crying so hard, imagining the worst. And then at some point it's like, well, what's the point? I have to get through and let's do this thing. Like, let's take care of what needs to be taken care of today. And I know, as we've talked about before, that serves a purpose for a season. But if I stay in that mode and I never actually grieve it, I think what happened with you and me, like I talk about in the beginning of the book, I think that fear of abandonment. So I, when dad was potentially dying, and it's not like his blood pressure got fixed quickly, right? It's not like he still doesn't have, I mean, he has to see a cardiologist every 6 months. Like, there's a real new reality to his mortality that I had never felt before. And I think it made me fast forward and go, okay, if he dies and if all the kids leave, then it's just going to be me and I'm going to be alone and I don't want to be alone. And it was the same 7-year-old feeling I'd had when my great grandmother died and I was facing death for the first time and I didn't want to be alone. And I imagined in the backseat of the car dying alone. And I go back to those moments because it's just that feeling of I don't want to die alone. I don't want to be alone. And I think that really is something that was a fear that I felt alone. Like, I felt the actual feeling of being afraid of being alone. Alone. I never told anybody that. I never processed it. I never said it out loud. And I think when I was reacting so strongly to you potentially moving, that I realized, like, I've got to face this and I've got to feel this. But it was easier for me to just go quit feeling that way, right? Like, when I'd be with you and I'd overreact and have that feeling of just so much grief, and you weren't even moving. You were just dreaming about it. Like, you weren't even telling me, like, Mom, I'm moving. I just knew that wasn't rational to react that way, but I thought, I can fix this on my own. Like, my old self would have said, Jenny, quit feeling that way. That's not rational. That's not reasonable. But our feelings don't always play fair. They're not controllable, really. And so that wasn't enough just to tell myself. And so when I went back and remembered all those moments where I felt that same feeling that I would feel when you were talking about moving, it helped me piece together what my real true fear was. But usually, we're just trying to swat it, control it, whatever.
It's so funny because, like, we will be in that, you know, maybe we're in that conflict where you're responding in some way and I'm like, it's okay and, like, whatever. Like, even then when you were just talking about it just now, I tear up. But it's like when you're able to identify what the core thing is, where in the actual fight about, like, if we theoretically moved somewhere, like, whatever, versus when you're able to identify that of, like, the fear of being alone and talking about that and losing dad and, like, all the things.
Yeah.
It allows me to move towards you, and that is my friend. And I think that applies to so many things.
She cried, y'all.
Oh, my gosh. Literally, hush. Also, okay, here's what I have to say for my 3 C's. One, I think I feel a little bit confused because I don't know if I can differentiate. Like, sure. I kind of am like, I think I do all of them. So really quick, could you explain the difference between them? Because yeah. I'm a little blurry
well,
on that.
I think they are a little bit blurry because sometimes we're doing all three all at once.
Yeah.
But I do think we all tend to lean towards one more. Control would be, I don't want to feel this, so I'm going to do whatever I need to control this emotion and not feel it. I'm going to put it in a box and I'm going to stick it somewhere. Conceal is, I know what this emotion is and I'm feeling it, but I'm not going to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to keep it to myself, but I am stewing yeah. inside. The reason I'm control is I literally keep it from myself. Mm-hmm. But conceal is like, I'm not going to tell anybody about this, but I am feeling everything. And then coping is, I feel it, don't want to feel it. I'm going to scroll. I'm going to mm-hmm. numb out. I'm going to think about something else. Oh, I don't want to think about it. I'm going to think about something else mm-hmm. and just escaping it with something else.
Yeah.
I think we all can tend to do all three.
Yeah, totally.
But I do think there's probably one go-to that right when you feel a negative emotion or an emotion like sadness or fear mm-hmm. or anger, what do you do right away? Like, that's the test is mm-hmm. right when you feel that sadness, what's your brain do? Does it pick up a phone? Does it make a decision? Does it feel mm-hmm. it really big but keep it to yourself? Like, what is your go-to most often?
It's probably coping.
Yeah.
And coping with busyness and, like, I think, and fun, like, truly, like, I think some of that is just, like, I'll go be with people so I don't have to think too hard about it mm-hmm. and process it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and phone and whatever it is. So that's probably mine.
I think that's a lot of people's. I remember my counselor saying one time, he said, put a person on a deserted island with a phone and they won't even barely realize they're there. Like, yeah, I mean, escapism is the order of the day. You're right. Coping is easy to do. It's the lowest hanging fruit. A lot of people probably mm-hmm. relate to that one the most.
I also think that judgment, you know, that yeah. second voice that chimes in. Me and you have talked about this a lot, but I have really deep shame. And it's that voice that's like, can be really self-critical, self-loathing. And I think that's a form of control. Like, mm-hmm. again, I'm trying to like shame myself into not feeling the way that I'm feeling because I don't like maybe how it makes me feel weak, or I think that if I can be frustrated with it enough, then in some way I'll change and I won't feel that.
Yeah, so a great way to combat this is to begin to say to yourself, I feel blank, and we're going to talk about this obviously more in the coming chapters, and to say it out loud to somebody. And mm-hmm. that's going to be, again, the way we're headed. If that feels really uncomfortable and unnatural to you, we're going to keep talking about it. But just even as you're going in this week, just kind of start to notice, I feel blank. And you don't have to do anything with it. Just take inventory of it. Just mm-hmm. start to notice it. What's coming is a process to go through this, right? A simple process mm-hmm. to feel your emotions. But we have to start with the barriers. Like, we know mm-hmm. everybody has a different resistance. It's not all the same. It looks different for all mm-hmm. of us. And so we're starting with this. But let me just say this. These are the three negative C's that we do with emotions, but there is a very positive one we're going to talk about next week that God designed us for, which is connection. This was the mm-hmm. most fun thing to realize about emotions, was that there was a purpose and plan for them. That helps me as someone mm-hmm. who wants to control them and decides I'm going to put this on the shelf to pull it off. I'm like, okay, if there's a good reason to pull it off, I'll pull mm-hmm. it off. And it goes back to the story we just told, Kate, and when you teared up about that story, like, there were times when I would talk to you about your future, your life, that you would feel controlled and you would feel mad. But when I tell you what's behind it and I apologize mm-hmm. and I kind of own my part, I go back away from you yeah. and don't do this with you. I go away from you and I figure out for myself, like, why am I acting that way mm-hmm. to her? Why am I reacting this way? And then I bring it back to you and it builds a deeper connection. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're doing this work, is because we believe that you are missing something. God believes that you are missing something when you ignore all of this. And so if you don't believe me, I want you to think about the last time that you cried when you were worshiping God. And maybe for some of you, you've never done that. Maybe for some of you, you've never even worshiped God. You're here because you needed this book and you aren't a Christian and you aren't following God, but you needed this book. And I would just say, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad that you are processing all of this with us. And I think you're going to love God as we continue on. But for those of you that have worshiped in the past. Like, there's an emotional connection that comes with God a lot of times. And it is part of the way he built us, that when we are worshiping him, that we feel joy, that we feel gratitude, that we feel awe and wonder. All of that is rooted in emotion.
Have you guys heard about Gather 25? On March 1st, 2025, the entire global church is going to gather for 25 hours of prayer, worship, repentance, and commissioning. Jesus followers from Europe, Africa, South America, North America, Australia, Asia gathered together for one global gathering with one goal: to go and make disciples of all people. And so you might be thinking, how is this going to happen? Well, technology is going to make something possible, a gathering of this size possible for the first time in history. Gather groups are going to be hosted all over the world, allowing communities to experience Gather 25 in person with others. So each continent will have a live broadcast site where the live speaking, worship, and video originates from. And for those unable to attend a Gather group or live broadcast site, Gather 25 will be broadcast on TV networks, internet, radio. Our hope is to make this as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. So are you in? Go to gather25.com and say, I'm in. We need every single one of you to be a part of this. For even more updates and good news from the church, you can go on Instagram and follow Gather25. This would not be a global gathering of the church without you. So come on, go to gather25.com, follow Gather25 on Instagram right now.
I want you to think of the last time you felt a great emotion, like something ecstatic, something so joyful, something where you were even surprised at yourself, that you felt giddy inside and you were so happy at a moment. And I remember even just a few weeks ago, I had that feeling. And when I have that feeling, I've learned to just really enjoy it and to notice it. Well, that feeling is housed in the same part of your brain as other emotions. And so I want you to think, if you're resistant and you're like, why would I stop coping? Why would I put down my phone? Why would I not run to something else? Why would I take that box off the shelf? Why would I do that? I would say, because you are missing the greatest moments, the moments of joy. You're missing those too, because they're in the same part. If you push down and say, I'm going to shut off sadness, you are shutting off joy too. I saw it in research. I saw pictures of the brain and where it was that people experienced joy and where it was that people experienced sadness. And it's in the same part. Like, their brains lit up in the same places. And so truly, you can't just shut off one. Like, you're going to shut off all of it. And I'd heard that before, but when I saw the pictures of the brain and go, oh my gosh, this is real. Like, there's parts of us that if we shut them off, we're also shutting off the joy and the good parts, the connection with God, the connection with other people. And so I don't want to miss all that. I want to experience all of that. And so for those of you that are scared of this, I get it. I get it. The coping, the controlling, the concealing, all of that serves a really great purpose in our lives for seasons. But if we stay there, then we're going to miss all the good parts too. I want to think about too the fact that this isn't sin, because a lot of you, your brain is like, but it's sin, it's sin. And I know we've already talked about this and addressed this, but I want you to think about the verse in Ephesians 4 that says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So there's this idea that you can feel anger and not sin. It's separating out feeling angry and not sinning because of that anger. And so I just want you to remember that the scripture is clear that you can feel these emotions. God feels these emotions, and they are not sin. They cannot be sin in themselves if God feels them. Just anger in itself, it can't be a sin if Jesus was angry. So we know that it is what we do with our anger is where we can get into a mess. And we're, of course, going to talk about that in the future as well. But for now, those of you coping, controlling, and concealing and feeling really happy about it, I just want you to realize what you're missing. And I want you to trust me to take the next step. Next week, we're going to talk about connection with each other and connection with God. It is the greatest gift of emotions. It's my favorite part. I want you to text your questions or thoughts to our phone number. It's 214-225-2255. 6267, and we'll be reading them, going through them, and answering some of them on the podcast as we go. The number is 214-225-6267. We want you to engage. This is so vulnerable to stick this out into the whole wide world. And so as you read it, yeah, be sure and let us know how it's impacting you.